Welcome, beautiful people, to another episode of the Black Crown Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kenesha L. Rowe, and this is a place where we explore the intersection of professionalism, textured hair, and identity. Get ready for another exciting episode.
Season two, we're back with the Black Crown Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kenesha Rowe, and I'm bringing back one of my special guests from season one, Tiffany Obeng, author and publisher. If you all remember, Tiffany joined us for episode three, where we talked about children's stories that inspired, educated, and normalized Blackness and texturism. And she's certainly a professional and a mover and shaker in her realm that obviously you can see her wonderful background with some of her titles that speak to self-esteem and social emotional learning, careers. A lot of this is influenced from her lived experiences, raising a family, and just helping other people want to inspire young minds. I wouldn't just say young minds, but all minds. So we're coming back today because part of our conversation, we kind of touched upon this, but we didn't really unpack it. And then other things happened in the world, and then we said, we got to come back and talk about what's happening in Texas. Correct me if I'm not wrong. This is your home state, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. And what we're really talking about is the Crown Act. So for those that are not familiar with the Crown Act is, it stands for Creating a Respectful and Open World for Natural Hair. And it was started in partnership with Dove in 2019 and this coalition of different groups and individuals to essentially create legislation that prevents discrimination in the workplace and in educational spaces so that one can exist freely without receiving any negative or punitive action against them because of the way how our hair exists right now. And at the time, one of the situations that we were talking about, or at least tracking in the news, was about a situation in your hometown that has since, well, not hometown, state. Yeah, in your state, in Texas, that has since revealed itself to, I don't know if it's the end of this saga. I don't think that it is, but it's certainly, we need to unpack what happened in Texas, despite them passing the Crown Act in that state, because it's not a federal legislation, it's state by state, and what the implications are for others in the workplace, but particularly in educational spaces. So I'll stop there. I've said a mouthful and let you kind of chime in. Tell me about everything that I know you were probably upset, probably had some other reactions, based on other people that you had conversations with, but what were some things that you were thinking?
So as soon as I saw the article, you came straight to mind because as you said, we previously talked about this when we did the previous recording. We hit on it and just talked about the importance of identity and how the Crown Act, people often don't relate it to school environments or to boys. And so that's kind of like the angle we were going when we talked before. And so when the ruling came out that locally, they were going to uphold the ruling that the boy needs to cut his hair so he can be in conformance with the district policy, I was like, it wasn't shocking, but it's still very disappointing. You have to think about the context of the district. It's not a Houston. So I'm like, that's not my home. That's not my home city. That's not my district. But it's not Houston. So you kind of have to consider that context. I'm not going to talk negatively about that place, but the makeup of the place is very important for what happened and why it's not shocking, even though it's still very disappointing. And so I was like, oh, Dr. Rowe has to know that, you know, this saga is continuing, that, as you said, this ruling happened at the district level. So they still have so many more levels to go. And the last I've heard, they do plan to pursue the higher levels. And so we just have to really see, one, how far it goes. Is it going to make it to federal level? And if so, that's where it's going to have wide implications. Or are we going to be able to just stop this at the state level? They tried to use the caveat, and by they, I mean the judge, and the argument was, oh, it's not about how he's, his hairstyle, it's the hair length. Our policy prohibits males of all races, like it doesn't matter your race, it prohibits males from wearing hair of a certain length. And we don't care if your argument is his hair is always up above his earlobe. The fact that if it comes loose and it'll hang below his earlobe or to his collar, that is in violation of our policy. And the judge agreed with that. And I'm just like, this is why people do not have respect or hope in the justice system, because of an argument like that is allowed to continue to prohibit this boy from accessing education.
It's sadistic. It really makes me so upset. So what we're talking about to give name and recognition is about Daryl George. And I actually don't know what part of Texas Daryl George's school is in. Can you tell?
I know the district's name, but I don't know exactly where it is. So okay. I have to look it up.
So I think that is important too, right? Like where you are in the country and how progressive or how accepting that part of the country is to your culture. But Daryl George is in the Houston area, high school student that has spent the majority of his time in in-school suspension because his hair violated this particular code. And the school district that he's in does outline what the dress and grooming code is, right? And so to quote, what happened in Texas was that a Texas judge ruled that the state's Crown Act, which they were fighting so hard to pass in the first place, does not make it unlawful for school dress codes to limit a student's hair length, right? And so the Crown Act is primarily around the presentation of hair. And now what we're seeing happen is the manipulation of that being in, well, it's not about the hair, it's about the hair length. And if you were to go to the dress and grooming code, what it states specifically about hair, and I quote, is that hair must be clean and well groomed, which is in some ways subjective, must be geometric or unusual patterns, including mohawks and faux hawks, shaved or cut to the hair are not permitted. You can't have an unnatural hair color or color variation, like blue, purple, green. Ribbons or other types of hair accessories should not distract from the learning environment and should be appropriate to the hairstyle. So I'm thinking about when I used to rock beads in my hair, because I never had ribbons, it's not staying, but I might rock beads. Beads may not be allowed. And a male student's hair will not extend at any time, even if it were to slip, right? I remember like getting off the bus and being checked for dress code and I have to pull my shorts down and then being cited. So at any time, below the eyebrows or below the earlobes, male's hair must not extend below the top of a t-shirt collar or be gathered or worn in a style that would not allow the hair to extend below the top of a t-shirt collar, below the eyebrows or below the earlobes when let down. So that's a whole lot. Like you are specifically describing and in some ways targeting who is allowed to present their hair, whether it's a cultural alignment, or you're saying that you must conform to how your hair should be, even though it doesn't, it may not be straight or it may be wavy. And I have serious issues with the way that it's phrased, is that you're right, Tiffany. It's no longer about you can't have locks, you can't have braids. Now we're talking about length. So you're telling someone how long their hair can be and they're not even in the military.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is conditioning for the military. They say some schools are conditioning for jails. I don't know. But like,
I want to answer your question about where this district is. So they're in Mount Bellevue, Texas, which is in Chambers County, which is not I'm in Fort Bend. Houston is Houston ISD. So like I said, they're not Houston associated at all. So the makeup, the racial makeup of Mount Bellevue is 78% white, 5.96% black, other race 7.4%. So that gives the context of, again, why it's not shocking, but it's still very disappointing. When you have, again, it's a district level, it's local level, the ruling was made. So you have the makeup of the same people, the 78% and the 5.9%. And so you have someone going in trying to explain to the 78 percentile why this ruling or policy is damaging, excessive, if you will, and how the Crown Act, where they're probably like, the Crown Act doesn't impact me. That's only for the 5.96% of people. So why do I care about what you're saying to me right now? And so while what they did is very disappointing, the fact that they're going to appeal and get to a wider audience and hopefully a more robust and diverse court and judge, hopefully we will see some positive movement and interpretation instead of them trying to say, well, because one of the judge said, if the Crown Act wanted to include length, it would have said it.
But that's what we need is evolution and revision of law. And it's a shame that, you know, even though I'm sure it was well-intentioned the way that it was authored, it feels almost like, oh, but we found a loophole and the loophole is now length, right? And when I think about when I started growing my locks, they were super, super short. I would have been within the parameters of this dress code. But the whole motivation for me as a woman, at least, of growing locks was the idea that when my hair was straightened with the creamy crack, it wasn't growing. It stopped here. It was thin. The minute I transitioned to natural hair, my hair flourished. It was almost like, not almost, I was doing the wrong thing for what my hair needed, right? So it needed to have been natural. And now my hair is the longest it's ever been. I am sitting on my hair. I have to do the whole scoop. I mean, it's my hair is now hip length from growing it for over 15, 16 years. And so what you're saying to someone who has locks is that, sure, you can have, well, what you're saying to someone in this district who goes to this school is that, yes, you can have locks, but your hair can't grow. So you still need to keep your hair, or you need to trim your locks. That's not the purpose of, in my opinion, of having locks, is that it's about the freedom and the growth and the hair liberation that comes with that. The fact that you're pushing back, people may told you that your hair can't grow, won't grow, and it is. Your hair is thicker, no longer thinner. So you're able to do all of these things and experience true hair liberation. But if you want to do that, as a high school student, you have to cut your hair or trim.
High school male students, not high school students. And then they have the caveat of, if you're Native American, you can wear your hair at any lengths. So, so the policy does have a carve out for Native Americans whose hair length is protected by law. Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, and as the writers or authors of the Crown Act have said since the ruling, like, okay, well, I guess we do need to go back and revise. But the question is, what are we going to do in the meantime? Like, the boy is still in suspension. Yeah. He still is isolated. He still cannot access education. So, okay, even though we know the Crown Act was intended to protect the hairstyle at all lengths, until the revision comes, if we have to even have a revision, it's so many laws that are made that doesn't address specific scenarios. And so when it was made with the, in my mind, I'm not an author of it, but just reading through it and listening to them talk about, like, of course it's going to protect the length. Like, a protective style necessarily has length to it. Like, you cannot have a protective style without length. Like, that doesn't make sense. And so it was written with that idea that people was going to understand what protective styles were. Like, I feel like we didn't consider as much as we tend to do. We get in our little tunnel. It's like, it's going to protect your hair as it grows out and your texture and protective styles such as braids and locks. And people know, or they're going to know what braids are. People are going to know what locks are. People are going to know what protective styles are. So we don't have to say, like, go into the details of it to educate within this law. And so then that means you have to put like an addendum or explanatory. I can't remember the name of what this is called, but like when you attach something that explains how the law is applied. And so maybe that's what they're going to do. Just go back and instead of like actually updating the language of the law, include like, this is how the law is applied. You apply it like this and it covers this, but you cannot think of every single scenario. So,
and you know, I think back to textured hair, Afro textured hair. It grows up, not down. It grows up, right? And when it grows up after a certain amount, and then it may start to like bend and then grow downwards. So essentially what you're saying is that, and particularly when you have newer locks, like that's when your hair is unlocked, it's immature. And so it's not until you have fully mature locks that it really starts to have that weight. Mm-hmm. It, and you really start to have that movement. And I don't know, perhaps it's also this attack against movement of hair as well, or, and length of hair, because all of these things are just the opposite of what having locks is about.
I just thought it was so asinine and cruel that they're like, because I'm like, okay, well, the length, but his hair, because every time you see the photo of this beautiful boy, Daryl George, is always up above his earlobe. And so I'm like, okay, well, he's in compliance. But then they have that at no time. And it.
Any time.
I'm like, really?
So if it were to come undone, if you were to go swimming at any time, you could be sighted. It's that type of surveillance is stressful.
Exactly.
And also you can't see that, right? So how many times have we been sitting somewhere and your ponytail comes undone or something comes undone with your hair? So then what? That's the moment that you're now subjected to be cited and will be now set up for, you know, additional disciplinary action, which may lead to suspension again. It just seems really unreasonable that obviously this policy doesn't consider Black students or students with textured hair and wants you to conform.
Yeah, it's like you conform or you get out. And so there's their options right now. Like they can cut his hair to the length that they say is appropriate, even though I'm sure they'll find something else, or they can leave the district. And a part of me is like, just leave the district. But then also a part of me is like, well, I understand what you're trying to do, but this teenager is missing all of his school year. He's a junior right now. He's missed all of his junior year. And so it almost brings up the idea of go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Like go to, I don't know where they live, but go to, if you are able to, like, can you go to another district and finish out the school year with a positive experience?
I mean, some of it is like picking your heart, right? Like they have clearly told you are not welcomed here. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it difficult for you here, and your experience, your education is going to be othered. So it's like, if you don't like it, get out. But in the other sense, it's like, you have to stay and fight. I'm sure it could have been a decision for him to cut his hair. So I'm sure people have said it, like, it's easy, just cut, and you're male, it's easy, just cut your hair. But it's not that simple when it's a part of your identity,
yeah,
or a part of your development as a person. And particularly now, it's forever etched into who he is. He is ever across the internet. So now it's almost a part of his brand. No, this is my hair, and I will never cut it in resistance to white supremacy, right? I will never cut my hair.
And it's so funny because, like you just said, it's part of his brand. So 10 years from now, you know, he graduates, he becomes a successful, whatever, business person. And then he decides to cut his hair. We're going to be like, really? We did all this and you cut your hair? Like, I feel like he doesn't have the option to ever cut his hair.
No, I think he does. But I think right now you have to make a point and you're going to stand on principle. And I think what we're talking about is when you can take away that option and there are very punitive consequences, that's the issue. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure he can change it. But I think people would react on the social media memes.
Yes.
like remember him. There might be some of that conversation, but it's disturbing that, you know, the options are taken away from you before you eat. And this is the time to experiment. This is, how is it a distraction in the classroom?
So the lawyer said the district has not proven that the policy is tailored to serve those interests. That articulated the purpose of the dress code is to teach grooming and hygiene, instill discipline, maintain a positive and safe learning environment, prevent disruption, avoid safety hazards, and teach respect for authority.
Okay, pause, because I am triggered by the hygiene thing. I'm really triggered by the hygiene thing because that is one of the negative associations with having locks, right? And what you're really saying is that Black hair should always be short for a male, and that if it exists longer, how does it? It's almost like there was a conversation. How does Black hair exist longer if it were in its natural state? Well, I know that they grow locks. So we're going to ban locks because it's unhygienic and, you know, you can't really wash it. I've had people in my lifetime ask me, do you wash your hair? How do you wash your hair? Like in my lifetime, as recent as 5 years ago. So I'm sure these are conversations. It's number one, it's just not clean. And we can't have that in our schools. It's going to create an odor. There has to be an odor because you don't wash it every day. We don't need to wash it every day.
But their point was, his attorney, Daryl George's attorney's point is, these are all the things, Judge, that you needed to look at. How is his hair violating the policy when the grooming policy is for all of these things? You have not said, Judge, and they have not proven, Judge, that his hair is not hygienic. They have not proven, George, that George's hair is going against authority. Like, how is it posing a risk to the teachers or not respecting the authority?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like you haven't done any of that to show, other than pointing to this one little line of your hair can't go below your earlobes.
And I think that's the tricky ways of writing policy that in some ways are intentional, right? So you don't want to be too broad and you don't want to be too specific. But if you put that comma in there, it's or. It's no longer and. It's the or language. And now you get to, you. It's like, all, not all, but most situations could apply. And it could be more than one. And now we look at the severity of him allegedly violating this policy. And it's it's the length and it's the hygiene. Cause I smelt something one time walking past him and it's a distraction because now there are news articles about him. I can't teach in my classroom. People are taking pictures, but you created the situation. You created this. You started this. And I feel like George and George's family is going to finish it, which is why, you know, it's like, if it's not George, it's somebody else, right? And that's the sad situation about this story is that, you know, the same picture with the same hairstyle. And his hairstyle is very much groomed. I'm allergic to that word in some ways, groomed. What does that really mean?
What does it mean? Yeah.
But for locks, for a male, like that there's no movement, it's not in a ponytail. It is like secure. It is securely fastened with his own hair or hairpins to his head. It is not a distraction. It moves with him. Unlike my hair doesn't move with me. It could get trapped. You know what I mean? So it's not like he's rocking it in a high ponytail, in a bun or anything like that. It makes me so upset.
Very much so. And I feel like even without the Crown Act, the law, the policy is just wrong. Like, even if we didn't have the Crown Act, the fact that they're preventing him access to education, especially quality education, access to the school, like premises. Like, yes, he's in one class, but I cannot access like lunchrooms and gyms and my class. I can't go around the building, about the building. Right. And it's all because of my hair. And it's all because of this policy that you're trying to stick it to me. Like, you haven't cited any incident where, and again, I'm saying aside from the Crown Act, because they want to say, well, the Crown Act, this is the loopholes to that. But no, it's like, listen, guys, like, if you're just humans, y'all have not said anything about his hair coming loose. As you noted, his hair appears to be securely fastened. They never said, oh, well, he violated it this one time when it fell below, and that was just a hazard. They never said anything other than he needs to cut it. And we're just now hearing about the length argument. Like, we're just now hearing about that.
And really what this is that it's disrupting the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
When he had his hair, I don't know what it's called with men, when it's just like a fade or whatever, perhaps when it was growing out, because you have to go through those stages, he's disrupting the status quo. That if someone were to come to this school and see him walking by, oh my gosh, you have someone like that at your school with that hairstyle? That's the issue here, is that the student body population and his bravery, his courage to wear his hair and still not cut it is challenging the system. Mm-hmm. That's what the issue is here, is that you can look and express yourself freely without having to and be within the bounds of this policy as it's written, because it's certainly below his ears, but that's not why they cited it. But that's the real issue here, is that they may not explicitly say, I don't want Black boys at my school, but they mm-hmm. will find, oh, well, what teenager, preteen, do you know that doesn't grow his hair out at some point? I feel like that is a part of the whole socialization, experimentation, identity development of any Black boys. At some point, they're like, I want braids. They want to
experiment. Any boy. And that's why I'm very interested in knowing, because when they say, oh, boys in general can't have their hair, I'm thinking about high school boys who are white, who wear their hair out like in the Justin Bieber, or they wear it like out here, or they do the shags. You know, they do like, they just go through that phase where they just have like longer hair that extends below the top of their ear, below here, and may even come to their collar at times. So I'm like, are they also being made to cut their hair? Like, I want to know that, but I don't want to spend the time researching that.
But you know what? I think it's worthy to note that, you know, at the end of, well, I would want to look at yearbook pictures.
Yes.
I need to see the yearbook. Somebody find us the yearbook pictures of the, because I was on the yearbook committee. So I, you know, there's a whole student ran a club or group of students that usually has an advisor, and you have to take your school picture. All seniors, because he's a rising senior, all June, every single class, you are captured, right? And I want to see, and this also might be a really interesting study for someone's dissertation as well. And let's see who else is violating the policy.
Yeah.
On that day, but also just in general, like yeah. let's check social media. Who else has hair that falls below the earlobe at any time?
At any time. At any time. So that's what I'm interested in. And then you mentioned about the ribbons. So cheerleaders tend to put the ribbons in their hair. And the little bit I know about white girls in general, they tend to bedazzle and do ribbons and things in their hair. So again, to the point of the yearbook, I want to know what happens when they have a pep rally and the girls, you know, do their pep thing with the ribbons in their hair, and then they go to classes throughout the day, because I was in band and we used to do pep rallies in the morning, early in the morning, and we would stay in like our gear for the remainder of the day, which was like little shorts and stuff like that. And so I guess we had a pass. So it's like, are they made to like strip those ribbons out of their hair before they go through the rest of their day? No, I'm sure they're not. And when they just want to have bedazzles or things in their hair, which can be distracting. that a bedazzle is just distracting to me, because it reflects lights and things of that nature. So what is happening to everyone else other than, or in addition to this Black boy?
Yeah.
So I don't want to negate, I don't want to distract from the issue of the Crown Act. I don't want to distract from Darryl George. But what I'm trying to say is, in light of Darryl George, is he the only one y'all applying this policy to? And if so, that's even more reason why you need to stop. If y'all are not properly applying this policy to people who are non-Black and non-Black males, then that's the issue in itself. That is inherent discrimination without the Crown Act. So that's what my point I was trying to make. Like, without the Crown Act, it still is applied in a discriminatory manner, likely.
Yeah. And I also think about the ease in which you can be in violation and then conform, right? So Darryl George can't say, okay, mm-hmm. summer breaks, I'm gonna wear this hairstyle, and then I'll go back in the fall and wear a fade, because it's a process,
yeah.
right? And it's also a spiritual journey as well of what you go through in your life. You can reattach locks, but it's more than just the flip-flopping, the change of ease of hairstyle or removing things from your hair. in less than 30 seconds. This takes time. And I think that's the thing that people don't understand is that Black hair, textured hair takes time. And that's why some people conform, because it takes too much time. But it takes time to learn what your hair can do, how you feel best, how your self-esteem is impacted. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have to negotiate spaces that you want to be in or can't participate in because you're going through that development.
Yeah. It's hair. It's hair. As far as we know, it's all about his hair. It's all about his hair. So Sheila Jackson Lee, she's a prominent representative in the Houston area. She said that she wants the Department of Education to take a look at it because he is being prohibited access to education. So I think that's a good idea. And I would like to follow that to see what happens with the Department of Education. I think that was a really good suggestion. I'm like, oh yeah, why hadn't anyone else thought of that?
Yeah. But there's also what you talked about, the meanwhile, right? So yes, we can do something on the back end to prevent this from happening again. But what are you going to do for Daryl George and his family?
And they're probably like, well, he can just comply or he can leave in the meanwhile. Like, he'll still have standing. That's probably like their thought process. Like, you can still bring all these lawsuits if you want. If you want to continue accessing education here, you're going to have to cut your hair. And if you don't want to cut your hair, then you have to leave while you continue your fight.
And this is a private institution, correct?
No. I never said it was private.
I think his school is a private institution, if I'm not mistaken. Let's look that up to see if his school is a private institution, because I feel like it might be.
Because if it's private, then all of this wouldn't matter. Like, all of our talking in the Crown Act and things of that sort wouldn't matter, because private institutions don't have the same requirement to comply with state laws.
It's an independent school. I don't know if that makes
sense. So Barbara Hill High School is a public school that's within Barbara Hill Independent School District. So maybe that's where you kind of got it.
Yeah. I think that's so. I don't truly know what that means, but here's what I do know about the history.
Yeah, it's a public school.
The creation of private schools, religious affiliated schools, is that they started to pop up and increase in number after schools were desegregated, right? And so it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to school with a Black child? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to build my own school and we're going to be educated over here. So that's where that kind of comes from as well. I'm like, this feels a little bit like preserving what the school population
78%
historically has looked like.
78%. The majority.
Well, I'm so glad that we had this conversation and unpacked this together. because I feel like we should keep watching, because that's the other thing, right? Like, the Crown Act came about, you know, right when there was lots of attention on Black Lives Matter and all things being Black. And now that we are on the cusp of an election year and, you know, positions have been rescinded, all of that was performative. So now where we stand, I wonder how the movement and the momentum of the Crown Act and the momentum and attention of Daryl George and his case is going to stand after all of this. I just don't know. I worry for that. And I hope that he does see justice. I truly, truly do.
Right. Me too. And I hope that we land on the right side of all this so it doesn't have a damaging effect across the states that have accepted it and prevent other states from accepting it. Because they're like, oh, well, good. We don't need it anymore. or, you know, they're like, okay, we'll adopt it, but it's not like we have to follow it, because we could just say, don't have your hair in a certain length and we're great.
Right? And that was my whole thing about my criticism around the Crown Act, is it's a great first start.
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about is individually, from human to human, how you treat each other, what you accept, what you embrace, what you respect, and what you believe about someone because of their hair presentation.
Yes.
So hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Crown Chronicles podcast. We'll keep bringing back more conversations like this, season 2. And there might even be a part 3. We'll see. I hope that there is a part 3, because we need justice to be served. And because we know that laws change and are very specific to the context, he has not received justice. And I really do wish that for his family and for him.
Yeah, agreed. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Until next time, I'm your host, Dr. Kenesha L. Rowe. This is the Black Crown Chronicles podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share it and subscribe. And I'll see you in 2 weeks.